Rome. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive, positively into a week two of the NFL season. And we're already jumping off the purple cloud into the, hey, what's going on? The Browns are happening. Flacco's here. The Lions are around the corner. And we got the Chiefs in a couple of weeks. Luke Jones has been out of Owings Mills all week long, picking up the purple therapy after, I don't know. I called it an unspeakable loss in the aftermath, Luke. I don't even know what to say about it. A couple days later, as we get ready on Sunday here for the Browns to come in, but they better right the ship. They better come out and play well this week, and they better come out early and play well. Home crowd, 30th anniversary, Ozzie, all of that stuff happening. Joe Flacco coming back, so certainly a big thing for him for sure. Although Joe generally handles his emotions pretty well, this can't be a 16-13 game at halftime, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, you just need to win, right? I mean, just win. I mean, you can't have another, you can't have a repeat of last year where you come home after a tough loss in Kansas City. A loss in Kansas City that was in no way like this Buffalo game on Sunday night, but a loss nonetheless. And then you do what they did against the Raiders in that fourth quarter, where again, they had a two-score lead. And then you let Gardner Minshew make a couple plays. And before you know it, you're somehow losing that football game. So they need to come out, start fast, keep their crowd in it. I think another, the other tentacle to this is got a fan base that's really frustrated. And I think it's the recent history of the Ravens having done this. I think there's an element to what's happened with the Orioles this year, where, you go through a baseball season. We'll get to the Orioles. They've played better recently, but they're still in last place, and we know what that season's been like. So you get to the start of the football season, expectations are sky high. Everyone and their grandma's picking the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. All of that, right? All that hype, best talent, best roster, or best quarterback, such a talented secondary, right? I mean, all of that, and it looks great for 50, if not close to 55 minutes on Sunday night. Wasn't perfect, but looked great. You're up two scores at midway through the fourth quarter. And that just happened. So the last thing you want is to start slow, turn the ball over early. The defense gives up a big pass play to Jerry Jeudy or something like that. And you'll hear boo birds. I mean, there's, I would not, as much as I don't necessarily, I don't know if condone's the right word. I mean, I've always thought it's just kind of, you boo your own team at home. I think if anything, that just pumps up the opposition. But I think that's the level of frustration. It's a little bit more than, not a little bit, it's more than usual. I mean, it absolutely is more frustration than usual, directed at John Harbaugh, at Zach Orr, at this defense.
Well, everybody knows how I feel about Harbaugh, right? Just as a man without character, I just think he's a fraud of a human being. That has been my, and I will say that out loud. I'd say it to his face if he had the guts to face me. But all that being said, 17 of these now, the dozen over the last couple of years, how it sticks to Marlon Humphrey, who spoke out, how it sticks to Derrick Henry fumbling the ball the other night, but at least stood in the middle of that Buffalo locker room and said, "It's on me," which Mark Andrews couldn't do, right? Which Bisciotti doesn't show up. It, the accountability of the franchise in a general sense, whether it's acknowledgement of the kicker, whether it's just drafting a kid that had some problems off the field in the second round, and just being a tone deaf inside outside organization to the community is one thing. That's why I boo them. Now, that being said, the anger of the fan base here for we've had two Super Bowls. Cleveland's had none. Buffalo's had none. Ozzie's going to get honored this week. This has been 30 years in. They've been a competitive team far more than the baseball team that I've had to sit here and literally just watch wilt before my very eyes since the Cal Ripken 21-31 game. Not much as good has happened in 30 years to this baseball franchise or its fan base or their wallets or the downtown business district, any of that. And I'm Baltimore positive, and I can look at that without having to look through some lavender colored glasses to talk about what is and what isn't the reality of the situation. But the reality of Harbaugh getting piled on by everybody but me, I haven't said ish this week, other, and I again, My feelings about how a white guy has a press credential and the Hispanic guy doesn't, and somebody that's been here 30 years that gets outlawed, and I get all of that. I'm 3 years way past that. I had a way better week last week than I would have had in Buffalo with you, although the beef on Weck and the wings were delicious. And of all the trips that I don't regret taking, you and me going to Toronto and Buffalo for opening day, I went to two baseball games this year. I went to Toronto opening day, Baltimore opening day. I wanted to go see Skeens pitch on Wednesday night, but nobody would give me any of their excess Birdland insider money to go down there in the rain. My wife's like, "It's raining out. You don't want to go." I'm like, "But it's Paul Skeens. So I want to go because I'm a sports guy." Just like I'd like to go this week on behalf of Flacco. Flacco's family took me. I go sit with his family and watch the game. But Harbaugh's getting piled on, not by me, for a lack of character and integrity that is biblical in my mind and should be in his mind as well. When I talked to him about what his bunkie Donald Trump was saying about our city, and he's down there canoodling with him, should be asking about his scribblings and his birthday cards to Epstein. But in regard to Harbaugh, I just piled on for, oh, I don't know, 90 seconds and pissed everybody off with shame, shame that you mentioning all of this, that he's hanging out either way. He's blown a lot of leads, and no one had a problem pointing that out in the post game, except me.
Well, a couple things here. First of all, I'm unmoved by the since 1991 stat. Give me more context than that. Is it a, because a 10-0 lead in the first quarter is not the same as what we saw Sunday night, right? So for me, let's stick with recent history. Can we, and I'm saying in a
Well, in
general
the
sense,
eyeball test of that, let's say the last two,
right?
3 years.
Yes,
Sure.
let's talk about
With
that.
a team capable of winning a Super Bowl, right?
And I'm not talking to you individually. I'm just saying when we're talking, when we're have, we can have this conversation. Like, believe me, I've been critical of John Harbaugh at times, and I mean, at this point, I think this franchise has a mental block in these situations where I think it's the coaching staff, I think it's this core group of players, I think it's they get out to these leads. And let's be clear, and Mike Sando from The Athletic, longtime NFL reporter, had this statistic the other day where he was talking about leads with, two score leads in the fourth quarter since 2022. The Ravens have six losses. No other team has two. However, let's also look at the flip side of that. The Ravens have 31 instances of games where they've had two score leads in the fourth quarter. The next highest team on the list that I saw was the Eagles at 28. Kansas City has 24. Buffalo, the mighty Bills, have 21. So some of this is also they jump out to a lot of big leads, right? So I don't know. Would people feel better if the Ravens lost Sunday like the Lions did going to Lambeau, where they just kind of look listless and, for lack of a better term, got their butts kicked? I don't know, right? I mean, and it's weird, right? I mean, this
Well,
team.
Harbaugh's team came back from with a yard on fourth and four plays of losing the Super Bowl, right? I mean, Joe Flacco had to throw a miracle to Jacoby Jones for Harbaugh to be this decorated Super Bowl winning guy. You mentioned in a previous conversation this week the 2014 playoff game where Belichick confused him and completely outcoached him in that game. Like, and to your point, Ozzie Newsome gave him Rashawn Melvin in the secondary.
Yeah, I mean,
Sean has had
there's more nuance to
horses.
these.
Sean has had the best football players the last 3 years. He really has. Like, I don't think he would dispute that because he sits in the press conferences and winks at Eric, and they do all the and they meet each other on the farm like it's a like it's Brokeback Mountain or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. They have the best players. Now the expectation is there, not with Nasty Nestor being a dick or John Harbaugh lacking integrity, which he does. This is about the fan base ready to boo the team if they go three and out on Sunday for Hall of Fame John, Hall of Fame running back, Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame general manager coming back. Like all of that, the fan base is so gassed up about having spent $600 and lost an AFC championship game in front of Taylor Swift and then having an ouster last year in Buffalo and having to go play on the road because they lost these kinds of games earlier in the year last year at home to the Raiders, that if something goes awry on Sunday, Nasty Nestor from 1998 with the Go Ravens signs isn't there to tell the fans, don't boo the home team. You shouldn't boo the home team. It's a bad idea. I mean, I thought that when they cheered Kyle Bowler being injured, and that was 2 decades ago now. So, I mean, for the controlling the zoo and the animals, we're not that much different than Philly in that way. But I would say this: the expectation level is
Sure.
off the charts.
Sure.
It's off the charts for all of them. And when you blow a 15-point lead to your rival on the road, pissing the game away in every conceivable way, and the head coach has been in the front of this several times, it'll be a rough week for John Harbaugh around here before I even get to it on Thursday afternoon, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not going to push back on that. I mean, he deserves criticism. They all deserve criticism. I mean, look, is it John Harbaugh's fault that Derrick Henry got stripped of the football and that was the biggest play of the game? Are we blaming John Harbaugh for Mark Andrews dropping a 2-point conversion that he's caught 99 out of 100 times in his career? I guess
I
except the
don't know what you can
postseason.
blame John Harbaugh
And
for. I've been around him
no,
18 years. He
I'll
doesn't
tell
call
you.
plays. He doesn't call
No, I'll
defense.
tell
He
you
doesn't
exactly
call
what he can.
offense. I don't.
Buck.
He's a morale leader. He's a cheerleader because he didn't pull Zay Flowers onto the field and say, take the ball on second down and do an end around when you have a pull Derrick Henry off the field on second down. He didn't do that. I mean, so but he's going to get blamed for it. So I mean, I'll take his side in that he doesn't have the play calls, but it does say it has his name above the desk. Even though when he sat in front of me and bullshat me about Chad Steele, he's a liar. But all of that being said, it does say John Harbaugh head coach on it, but I can't blame him for stuff that I know's not. Like, that's Monken, that's Zach Orr, that's probably Pagano to some degree at this point with play calls late in a game like that.
I would disagree a little bit in the sense that the head coach is going to give the direction of where you are in the game and how you want to proceed, right? Now, Todd Monken in the micro, yes, is making each play call, but when you get to a certain point, you talk about this throughout the offseason, you certainly talk about it throughout the week, throughout the summer, knowing that you're playing Buffalo week one, you're going through scenarios. All right, we're up 15. Midway through the fourth quarter, we're going into our 4 minute offense where we want to run clock. What are our best play calls here? What are we going to do? What are we not going to do? The head coach sets the expectations in that way, regardless of whether he's actually calling the play. So I would disagree a little bit with that, but at the same time, the buck stops with the head coach, right? The head coach is the leader of the players on the field, the coaches on the sideline. I think as it pertains to Sunday night, for me, number one is punting on fourth and three. I mean, I'll continue to go back to that, and it's almost unthinkable in my mind when you think back to where they were week two, 2021, Kansas City in town, and the Ravens went for. Now it was fourth and one. I get that. Fourth and one is much different from fourth and three. However, this defense was playing at a way lower level than. And you know, not as though that defense was great that night, let's be clear, but you know, they at least you know made a couple game-changing plays. I mean, Oweh had the play, all that. But when it's fourth and three and you haven't stopped the opposition whatsoever, and Josh Allen is on a Josh Allen kind of heater, and you have three timeouts in your pocket, so even if you don't get it, Buffalo takes over. Yeah. I hear John. They're in almost in field goal range, but you've got three timeouts then, and you can make the argument that, hey, you're not stopping them anyway. Giving them a shorter field is probably going to improve your chances of getting the ball back and having a chance to answer and win the game with your offense anyway. So for me, that was below the
Well,
bar
they like to
for
think
head
that
coach.
they can make 3 yards from anywhere on the field anytime,
And that's
right?
part of it
That to
too.
win
I
a
mean,
game, they'd like to think that they could do that. To win a
I mean,
game, one play, 3 yards, win the game.
and I'll hear it that Lamar was kind of cramping up. I'll hear that. But at the same time, Buffalo had called timeout there. If you need to, you can call a timeout there, right? Even though you want to keep those timeouts if you don't get the fourth down. But that was poor. I mean, that was an uninspiring decision. And I know John, even on Monday, was still trying to say, I believed in our defense. Well, you weren't watching the same defense as everyone else because that defense was awful in the fourth quarter. So,
Yeah,
but
that's the thing about John. He's unbelievably incongruent.
well,
You know what I mean? He'll say one thing, and fans
yeah.
eat it up like what used to eat it up. Now fans, dude, I see the post game threads that they have
He's
on
not
their
going to
own
throw his
thing.
defense under the bus, though. I
They
mean,
should
come
wish all
on.
these people aren't on the radio taking calls from these people because like it's John's
Somebody,
not popular here, not just amongst me. Maybe he's popular with Len Stoller, but that's about it.
I mean, he's not going to throw his defense under the bus publicly. I mean, he's just not. What coach? There are very few instances where that's going to be
Well, I
constructive
mean,
for your
he
football
says, I
team.
believed in my defense. So he bet on his defense. You didn't believe in his defense because you had watched it. He did believe in his defense. He put him out there. So, I mean, I'll give him conviction for that. He at least said, I thought our defense could make the stop. Okay. Well, you were the only one, bro.
Yeah, but so that part of it, he has to wear, right? I mean, he does because he's the head coach, and the overall collapse he has to wear. Now we start digging deeper into it, and okay, Monken's play calls, Zach Orr's play calls, the players on the field. I think what's so frustrating for me, and again, to bring it to pull back out and look at the last few years specifically with these games, is with each one, you can kind of look at it in the micro, and not that you explain away and excuse it. Like, that's not at all what I'm saying, but you can kind of understand some fluke. I mean, even in this game, I mean, Keon Coleman catches a fourth down touchdown off a deflection. There aren't too many defenses that can, that you can account for where a ball's going to go after it goes off someone else's hands, right? You go back to some of the Miami game in 2022. I mean, Marcus Peters wasn't right. Marlon Humphrey got hurt in that game. They had Kyle Hamilton playing deep safety before he was ready to play deep safety. They had Jaylen Armour Davis on the field, right? And you had this Miami team with a hotshot offensive-minded coach and Tyreek Hill and new toys, and they kind of just. It was like an ambush all of a sudden that they just, and that's not to excuse it, but
They
you
were
kind
also
of look,
playing on 3 days rest, right?
not, no, not, no,
No,
no.
that was different year. I'm
You're
sorry.
thinking of the Thursday night game the year
Right.
before.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't me excusing this, but like you can look at each of these games and say, okay, part coaching, part players, some bad luck involved, some injury things that happened in game. Like, so you look at each one in the micro and you can kind of contextualize it and rationalize it to say, all right, that was a bad loss, but it's not necessarily like this systemic issue.
Or a
But then
trend.
you do step back and you look at the fact that, yeah, okay, I get it. They've had 31 games since 2022 where they've had a two-score lead in the fourth quarter. That's more than any other team. So, like, kudos on that. That shows what kind of chops you have as a football team, but you have six losses. Kansas City doesn't have any losses in that category. The Eagles, who have won a Super Bowl recently, last year,
Well, and those
won.
six games are the difference between them being 15-2 and 13-4,
Yeah,
or right?
I
Literally.
mean you and you look at it, and here's the exact breakdown for those specific six, right? I mean, there's some other games that they've had a one score lead late. I mean, it's the NFL, right? I mean,
They've also
it's
lost some games, like the game to the Giants and stuff. I mean, and
well that. That's
the
one of
rate.
those six because they led by 10 in that fourth quarter up in the
Right.
Meadowlands. So, but at the same time, and this is what's frustrating to me, and this is where context and nuance is necessary. They've also had some games where they've come back and won, right? I mean, think back to that Colts game in 2021, that Monday night game. They were getting their butts kicked in that game. And that was almost really the first game where they let Lamar Jackson be Dan Marino. And he did it brilliantly. I mean, he threw for a ton of yards. Now, granted, the Colts secondary was banged up. Like, again, you can always talk about these types of things. So they've had some games where they've staged comebacks. And generally speaking, there are games where they've trailed from Jump Street, and then they make a comeback in the second half. The Cincinnati Thursday night game last year, remember, they were down 14 points. Late in the third quarter, I think it was. And they came back and won that game. So when I see that, just in terms of trying to like figure out what's under the hood for this football team and this core and this coaching staff, it's not as though they've never overcome in-game adversity. They've had examples like that, but it's this, and they've had a ton of games where they've jumped out to a big lead and they've never looked back, right? We've seen games where they've won by five touchdowns, even against good teams. I mean, Detroit a couple years ago, Seattle a couple
Any
years.
game where the backup quarterback played,
But
right?
even I mean, look what they did to San Francisco on Christmas night. I mean, 2 years ago, that second half they stomped them, right? I mean, Miami coming in with the number one seed on the line in week 17 2 years ago, they stomped them, right? So it's not as though they've never done it, or it's not as though they can't protect any leads, but it's these very specific instances where they build a comfortable lead, but it's not mathematically, it's not over yet, where it's like a five, four or five touchdown lead where you'd say, all right, yeah, this is done. But it's comfortable enough where I said it to you when Derrick
Two
Henry scored.
mistakes in a drive and the game's close.
I mean, I said it to
Right?
you. It's one of those fool me once, shame on you. Fool me six times, shame on me. When they had the Lamar scramble and the Derrick Henry touchdown in the fourth quarter, I thought it was over there. I thought those two plays back to back had completely killed Buffalo's spirit, and I thought it was over there. So I think the Ravens thought the
I
same.
thought it was
And
over in the third quarter when Buffalo guys
I,
are watching the ball bounce
sure.
at their feet and they look like
Sure.
they didn't want to be there. And when they look like they didn't want to tackle Derrick Henry, most
Right.
of the night they look like they didn't want to tackle Derrick Henry.
So, but I think what you've seen in these instances, yes, some fluky, weird things have happened as well. And generally speaking, that's what happens when there's a comeback. Think back way back when, one of the greatest comebacks in Ravens history, that Seattle game back in 03. Ed Reed blocking a punt was really the play that got that going. I mean, I get it. Anthony Wright to Marcus Robinson, what, four touchdowns in that game? But like some fluky things generally happen that allows a team to stage a
I said
comeback.
two mistakes in a drive.
Right,
The
sure.
mistake can be a shanked punt. It can be a fumble, an interception, a this, a that, whatever.
It's been a lot of that
It can
stuff.
be a 15-yard pass interference. It can
But
be anything, but then you just see momentum take over.
no
And
doubt.
we've been watching this sport for 50 years. That's kind of the way this goes, right?
And I think these specific games we're talking about, I feel like they get in their mind that, hey, we can relax. And I think to me, it's akin to putting a car in cruise control and you're set at a certain, cruise control doesn't mean you're going 15 miles per hour. It means you're set and you can take your foot off the accelerator. I think what happens then is these teams that don't just roll over and look, we've seen it plenty of times. How many teams roll over against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens when they jump out to a big lead? They just say, well, we're done.
They're
We're
usually
not going to,
NFC teams,
yeah.
but yes.
But it happened. It happened plenty of times. Like I said, they jump out to leads all the time, and they protect most of them. But in these instances, a team has the resolve to punch back, to punch them in the mouth, and that's where then they reach to the accelerator pedal, and either they can't find it or it's not working, and they just spiral then, and everything spirals, right? They all go down with the ship.
Sunday night was
No.
astonishing. If you would have told me that Derrick Henry would have been the GOAT, right?
You're right.
Getting the ball punched out, like.
Well, just how about the fact that they scored 40 points? I mean, this was the first time in franchise history that they had scored 40 points in a game and lost. And that's not shocking because the defensive history of this team. And also before Lamar Jackson came around, this wasn't a team that scored 40 points in a game very often. I
In
mean,
my own defense, I did not put my Derrick Henry Oilers jersey on before the game. So, had I been wearing that, maybe it would have brought some better juju
yeah.
to the
So.
proceedings.
But you mentioned Derrick Henry, and I
I felt
mentioned
funny wearing an Oilers jersey against the Bills. I just
that's
saying.
definitely,
Just
yeah.
it didn't it didn't that didn't add up for me. I've done that
Yeah.
once.
But that's where I look at this again, where it's like, yes, John Harbaugh, he's got to wear it. He's the head coach, and he's ultimately responsible for what happens. But at the same time, there's nothing about John Harbaugh's failure as a coach that explains why Derrick Henry fumbles in that spot. And look, Ed Oliver made a great play. Part of this is also Josh Allen in Buffalo, right? I mean, in this instance, now the Raiders last year, or talking about the Giants a few years ago, like, okay, that's a diff. But there's also the element of Josh Allen's a Hall of Fame quarterback, just like Lamar Jackson, and Buffalo, as was at home, and the
That's going to be
momentum
on
gets
his
going.
highlight reel.
No question, no question. I mean, we'll see what it brings for the rest of this year, right? I
Doesn't win him
mean,
a ring, but
no.
might win him a home game in January when these
Which
teams
could
have to
help
get
win them,
together
right?
again.
Yeah,
Well, if
sure.
they're going to
So,
get there, they better take care of business this week against the Browns.
no doubt. So, but again, there's multiple things at work here. There absolutely is, and that's where I look at this and say, yeah, is it John Harbaugh? Yeah. Is it Todd Monken in the final couple drives? Yeah. Is it Zach Orr over the course of the night? Yeah. Is it this core of players that, when I hear Marlon Humphrey say that, they still need to mature as a defense, and I think that He means that in the way of the 2025 group as it's now constructed and newcomers coming in, responsibilities changing, all of that. Yeah, I think that takes some time to gel for any team, but
They've only been on the field for 60 minutes. They barely practice. You talk about this all the time. Like
That's part of it.
they're you
I think that
know,
was part of it for
teams
Buffalo.
are
Why?
not prepared.
Yeah, and I think that was part of it for Buffalo's defense being as horrible as it was until the final couple drives where they made some plays. So there's all of that, but this happening after an entire offseason of hearing about last year's Buffalo loss and this team being, quote, deliberate and intentional with what they want to do, and this grading system that they did in practice, which I will continue to say was an attempt to quantify something that's qualitative and something that try to make something science that's more art, because I think it's between the ears. I think it's a mental thing for this team as much as anything now. But man, I mean, just you don't you're so excited for week one, and you have here we go again right off the bat. I mean, that's tough, you know, and that's why there's a lot of pressure on Sunday against an absolutely inferior team, but a division rival that beat you last year. They beat you 2 years ago, and no one expected that to happen in either case. So you better come out and start fast and play well on both sides of the ball and leave no doubt. And you know what my message would be to, if I were John Harbaugh talking to this team now moving forward? Guys, we're going to start fast and we're not going to let up. And you know what? We're going to have people criticizing us for running up the score on teams. But until we learn how to truly finish out and close out games, we have no other choice but to just play it that way. And if we get called poor sports because we're running up the score on lesser teams, and so be it, because we can't let this happen again. You know, that would be my message, part of my message to my football team at that point, and say we're not going to change a darn thing when we get to the fourth quarter. We're going to continue to just, you know, completely stomp and boat race these teams. And if the media doesn't like it, or if the opposing head coach doesn't like it, I don't care, because we can't let this happen again, because this is embarrassing and it's unacceptable and it's below the bar and it's costing us opportunities to improve our seeding for January and to try to win a Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. I expect the Ravens to win. I expect the Ravens to win by a couple scores, but that doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen, that you just roll the ball out and it's automatically going to happen. You need to go out there and start fast and do not take your foot off the accelerator. But because, you know, if it's anything like Sunday night, you weren't able to find the pedal again when you needed it.
Well, they are the better team walking onto the field
No
Sunday at
question.
1 o'clock. They better win. And all that being said, Joe Flacco's homecoming, the Ozzie Newsome thing, Schwartz coming back here, division rivals, Myles Garrett, all of that happening here on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Luke will be at the ballpark. We'll be monitoring all things on social media the way we always do, jibber jabbering and chatting and strategizing and doing all that stuff. We also got a lot of looks from the Cleveland side of things. Dave Zastittle joining us this week. We have the 75 Colts reunion over at Union Brewing on Saturday. Lydell Mitchell's coming on with me this week. So I've even found my 1975 New York Jets ticket from game week six of that campaign where Burt came in, threw three touchdowns, 52-19. Suck it, Joe Namath. Anyway, kidding me. It's 50 years ago, man. That's how long I've been loving football. So I got to get my Baltimore Colts belt buckle off the wall here. I'm going to strap that on this week. Yeah, I never really had a Burt Jones jersey back in the day. I think I still have my Colts hat, my little Colts hat with the pom-pom on it. So I'm going to try to find that. I also have my ball cap. So, I'm rummaging around here. Ain't nothing wrong with them Baltimore Colts. So Baltimore Colts and the Baltimore Ravens all being honored all weekend long. We'll see if the Cleveland Browns can put up a fight at 1 o'clock on Sunday. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.